turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we're going to have a special song after that. If you don't have the handout from last week, we got a copy for you tonight. If you have it, find it in your Bible there, and we'll finish that tonight. So we'll get a copy to you in just a moment if you don't have one. Romans 12.
Just a few broken pieces to work with, a handful of fragments of me. But Jesus picked them all up with His sweet hand of love. His vision was what I could be. Took what the world saw as worthless and created a masterpiece made by mercy, shaped in love, formed by the Father's hand, fresh from our God above. Nothing that I have done, no offer was enough. For what you see today was made by mercy, saved by grace. I can't explain how He found me. I was hopelessly lost in sin. Oh, but Jesus could see what tomorrow would bring, and He needed His work within. With the skill of the potter, He molded me in the image of Him, made by mercy, shaped in love, formed by the Father's hand, fresh from our God above. Nothing that I have done, no offer was enough. For what you see today was made by mercy, saved by grace. Made by mercy, shaped in love, formed by the Father's hand, fresh from our God above. Nothing that I have done, no offer was enough. For what you see today was made by mercy, saved by grace, grace, God's grace, grace. That is greater than all our sin.
Great song. I appreciate it, fellas. Ushers, if you would help us. If you did not get the handout last Wednesday or you lost yours, raise your hand. And they've got a fresh one for you this evening. While they're doing that, we should have mentioned tonight on the prayer list as well, Mick's grandfather, Bob Gaines. So if you have your prayer list handy, Bob Gaines, G-A-I-N-E-S, and he is on hospice care. Actually, his Mick's sister, Tara, is there caring for him. And it's any day now that he will pass on. So pray for Bob Gaines. That's his mother's father out in Iowa. Keep your hand up until you get one of the handouts, all right? Okay, they're working their way around. And there's some over here. See, Chelsea there needs one. And that'll be great. I appreciate it so very much. If you lost yours and misplaced it from last week, that's fine. We're gonna do a quick review to fill in case you missed last week, and then get this finished tonight, and then go on to some more next week. All right, let's pray together. Father, we're grateful tonight for Your Word. Teach us from it, I pray, O God. Help us, Lord, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And I pray, God, we would learn what the Bible teaches about specific areas of life for us as your children. Help me tonight. May we have a great lesson in Jesus' name. And amen. We're talking about the matter of spiritual gifts. And last week and tonight are kind of, they're kind of preliminary lessons, if you will, before we jump into the specific spiritual gifts and talk about them. But my goal for this, I guess my burden, my heart for this, is for every member of Faith Baptist Church to find their spot of usefulness in the body, okay? In the body that is this local church. And I want you to feel like, you know, because you can't sing or because you can't, you can't get up in front of people, that you have no spiritual gift. There are plenty of ways to fit into an effective body of Christ for all of God's people. In fact, God expects that. And God wants you to exercise that. So that's kind of my burden here. We start off at Romans chapter 12. God starts talking about that good and acceptable and perfect will of God that's available to every one of His children. And we can enjoy that by obeying two things, two commands. If we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, and if we if we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I won't take long to go into that. But those verses 1 and 2 speak of our responsibility to God, okay? We have a responsibility to God because He saved us, okay? And so we need to present our bodies to Him, and we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that's our responsibility. But as is with God, you know, we never do anything for Him that He doesn't do overtime for us. If we'll do those things, we can enjoy the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And as I said last week, who wouldn't want that? Okay? Who wouldn't want that for their life? Now, this speaks of our responsibility to God. But beginning in verse number 3, Paul goes on to talk about another responsibility, and that is the responsibility that we have to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's basically, folks, more than that, especially as members of this local church assembly, okay? Because, you know, the family of God transcends this church, all right? Those people over in Dave Soult's ministry in England, those people over in the Malucci's ministry over in Bulgaria, and around the world, wherever our missionaries are. Okay, I went to Belarus, and I met Dima, and I met Vlad, okay, and these young men. They are my brothers in Christ. They are your brothers in Christ. We all belong to the same wonderful family of God, okay? But we're not members of the same local body, okay? They're members of whatever Dave Schrock's name is over there. I don't even know the name of that church I preached in. It's in Belarusian, I guess. But anyway, whatever that church is, they are members of that local body. You and I are members of this local body. And as such, we have a responsibility to each other. Okay? We not only have a responsibility to God, but we have a responsibility to each other. So we said, number one, when a person becomes a Christian, he not only enters into a new relationship with God, but also into a new relationship with other believers. And that's kind of what this lesson is about. Not so much our relationship with God as with each other, as it is to each other, okay? We said, number two there, as a believer, he is to present his body to God for service. As a believer, the Christian is to present his, and of course his or her, body to God for service. Number three, as a brother, he is to carry out, or sister, but I'm just using the masculine gender here. As a brother, he is to carry out this service in a relationship with other believers at the local church. So I have a responsibility to my brothers and sisters in Christ, and particularly those who are members of the same assembly that I'm a member of. And I have a responsibility to carry out my service to God with other believers at my local New Testament church. This is where my service to God takes place, okay? This is where it really happens, all right? Now, I said number four last week, neither of these, our service to God and our responsibility to our fellow brothers, neither of these are optional. This is just the reasonable way for a child of God to live. I'm sorry, Paul, folks. But the truth of the matter is, for those who can sing, those who can teach, those who can play, those who can help, you know, the honest truth of the matter is, you know, we don't need to, we really don't all line up and get a pat on the back. Really. And, you know, this is where, you know, if a church is built on, thank yous and recognition, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you exercising the gift that God has given to, is just reasonable service. That's not gold star material. You know, remember the little chart on the refrigerator when your mother put your name up there, you know, and if you put a red star or a gold star or a blue star, you know, and, or whatever it was for you. I don't know what it was, but anyway, you know. Well, this is, you know, I really think some folks feel like just coming to church, they need a pat on the back. The pastor didn't recognize me that I was at church. You know? Yeah, you're right. Show up. That's reasonable service. Okay? And so this is not optional. This is reasonable service. What God said, you know, it's what Paul said in the Scripture here, okay? Number five, we said Paul makes two observations about our relationship with others at church. Number one, or number five on your sheet, the believer's relationship with his brothers should be an intelligent one. The believer's relationship with his brothers should be an intelligent one. In other words, the Christian should understand how he or she relates to other members in the church, okay? And we should all have the proper opinion of ourselves and of others in the church. We talked about that. Number six, think of yourself, but not too highly. Paul says that in verse number three, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So for every man that is among you, he's writing to a local church. This is to members of a local New Testament church. To every one of us, okay? We ought not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. So think of yourself, but not too highly. Number seven, think of yourself, but think soberly. That means sanely, calmly, solemnly, okay? Think of yourself, but not too highly. Think of yourself, but think soberly. Now, when you put these two together, this means every person in the church is not to overestimate themselves or underestimate themselves. And here's the situation, folks. Overestimation leads to pride. Believe me, folks, this church can function without any one of us. That's the honest truth. Now, would to God we would leave a hole if something happened to us. Folks, you don't want to leave this world, leave a church, and not leave a hole. You don't want to do that. Okay? But folks, you know, it may hinder the process, the progress a little bit, but the work of God goes on without any of us. Okay? None of us are that instrumental. All right? So think of yourself, but not too highly. Think of yourself, but think soberly. Overestimation leads to pride. Underestimation leads to false humility. This idea of, I don't know how to do anything. I'm of no value. I'm of no good at the church. I just come. That's a false humility. Stop that. God has given you some type of gift. You're not left out. Okay? There is no trash heap. Okay? So, you know, you're of some value. You're of some service. I'm talking about to the local assembly. You're of some value. We just got to find out what it is. You got to find out what it is. It's a mutual burden here. I'll say more about that later. All right? But, you know, stop that kind of talk because that's a false humility, okay? Number nine, understanding that every man has been given a measure of working faith will prevent one from overestimating himself, okay? Now, that's in verse number three. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So, understanding that every man has been given a measure of working faith. The faith in verse number three is not talking about salvation faith. The faith in verse number three is talking about serving faith, working faith. Okay? Being active for God. We're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about working, serving. Every man has been given a measure of working faith. And the emphasis, folks, on the fact that we have been given that. Are you gifted to serve by way of music? Are you gifted to serve by way of teaching? Are you gifted to serve by way of helps? That is one of the spiritual gifts that flies under the radar. But there are people who are just gifted at being a help. And boy, do we need people like that. You know, I mean, just a help. And but the bottom line is, Anybody that has that particular gift was given that measure of working faith. That didn't start with us. That came from God. All right? And if we understand that, that keeps us from overestimating ourselves. That was number 9. Number 10, understanding that God has given some measure to every man will prevent one from underestimating himself. So the person who would say, you know, I'm just of no value to the church, I don't have anything I can contribute, that is a false humility, and that's just not true. Because God has gifted everyone in some way. Everyone, okay? So these are important things. Number 11, it is well within what is right for every believer to be excited about his place in God's service at the local church. Okay, so that, man, if God's gifted you to sing, then folks, when you get up here to sing, don't shy away from about being excited about it. Look like you're excited about serving God and exercising your gift. It look like it in the choir when you're singing. Look like it when you're teaching. Don't drag into your class. Roar into your class. Amen? It's exciting. Brother Tom Jackson is in, and his wife are in the discipleship class right now, and he probably doesn't even know, but he was an encouragement to me last Sunday, because we're interacting with filling in some of the things, and I said something about, am I going too fast or am I too over the top? He said, no, I said, man, you're into it. I love it, and I am into it. I enjoy. It's not a drudgery. It's a privilege to serve God. Privilege. And we had what? 6 people up there? I think it was 4 and 2. Yeah, 6 people up there. And you wouldn't call that a huge crowd. But there could have been 600 there. I wouldn't have taught with any more fervency for 600 than I taught those 6. Are you with me, church? So it's, if God's gifted you, be excited about it, man. I can't think of anything more helpful for our children as far as helping them see what it means to be a part of a church than to serve with some enthusiasm. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness, Psalm 100. Come into His presence with singing. Enter His courts with thanksgiving. Into His gates with praise. It doesn't sound to me like somebody who's just dragging in. So enjoy it. Enjoy what God's gifted you to do, okay? And to be excited about it. Now, let's get into the new material that we're going to begin with on number 12. This is the second observation that Paul made about this business of being a member of a body of believers, okay? The believer's relationship with his brothers not only should be an intelligent one, that was number 5. The believer's relationship, number 12, with his brothers should be an involved one. Involved. That's verses 4 and 5 of chapter 12. So when you write those two words in, that verse number 12, the believer's relationship with his brothers should be an involved one. Now look at verse 4 with me. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. The believer's relationship with his brothers should be an involved one. Paul uses, number 13, our human bodies. I missed the word bodies there, I'm sorry. Paul uses our human bodies to teach us about the involved relationship members of a church ought to have with each other. And you talk about the perfect illustration, and of course, why would God use anything less than perfect? The perfect illustration to illustrate how a church ought to work, ought to function. The physical body. The physical body. Okay? Our physical bodies have a head. This church is a body. You know who the head of this church is? It's Jesus Christ. Okay? And then we got a body. Our physical head, our body. Our body is made up of lots of members, okay? Some of them are part of our head, if you will. Okay, but I'm talking about the head, the part that leads and dictates and so forth. Folks, when it's time, I might have said this recently, when it's time to plant the garden, my head tells me, go to the shed, get the rototiller out, get the wheelbarrow out, get the hoe out, get this, get that, walk here, pick up this, pull this rope, move this lever, start this rototiller. Where do all those directions come from? The head. All that, every step I take, it comes from the head. The head tells me what to do. Okay? If you're brain dead, you don't walk. You don't move. So the head determines every activity my body engages in to plant the garden. All right? So what is my body? My body is the physical mechanism that carries out what the head tells it to do. Okay? All right, so what's the church? Church is a body. Who's the head? Jesus Christ. You and I are the members of the body. What are we supposed to be doing? We are the physical mechanism to carry out that which our head tells us to do. Now, folks, that can't happen if we're not involved with each other. If you got a member of your body that is not connected to, somehow to the brain, okay, there's nerve damage and it's spastic, you're not going to get much accomplished. At least what you should be able to get accomplished. The members of the body are supposed to be involved with each other. You know, if you haven't noticed, the members of our physical body are fairly involved with each other. And if they weren't involved with each other, our safe existence would be in jeopardy. You know, if there is an object coming at a great speed at my eye, my entire body is involved with itself to protect one member. You know, of course, my eyelid is going to shut, but my head is going, my neck is going to turn my head away, and my hands are going to reflexively come up like this, and my knees are going to bend, and my waist is going to twist to avoid getting hit by that thing that's flying at me. My whole body is involved for the protection of one member. If it didn't function like that, you know. What if it's coming at me and the brain says, hey, waist, twist? No, I don't feel like it. The brain says, hey, hand, protect the eye. No, not today. Well, we're in danger. But your physical body doesn't work like that. And the church shouldn't work like that. In fact, the church can't work like that. It's got to be in harmony with each other. The members of our body have an involved relationship with each other. Notice the word office. Look at that word office in verse number four, the last word. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Okay, now this is number 14 on your sheet here. Notice the word office. It means that which anything is fitted to perform. That which anything is fitted to perform. This is what makes our bodies work. The members of our physical bodies all have an office. That is, I'm not talking about a room with a desk and a phone. Okay? They've been fitted to perform a specific duty. My eyes have an office. It's to see. My ears have an office, they hear. My nose has an office, it smells. My hands have an office, they move and grab and touch and sense. Okay, every one of the members of our body has an office. They've been fitted to perform a specific duty. They are involved with each other. You know what that means, folks? There is an interdependency upon the physical members of my body that is healthy. My eyes depend upon my hand to protect it. In some cases, my waist to twist away. They depend upon each other. And all my physical members have been given a specific office, a duty to perform. And there's an interdependence. You know, if my brain tells my hand to pick up that microphone, my hand can't do it unless my feet take me there. So my hand is interdependent on my feet so I can pick up the microphone. Are we together tonight? Okay, now, this is what makes the local church work also. You know, not all the members of my body and your body have the duty of the hand. Not all the members of my body and your body have the duty, the office of the ear. But that doesn't matter, folks, because they're all interdependent on each other for the good, for progress and for production. And so is a local church. This is what makes a local church work. Every member has been gifted, has been given some office, some duty, some responsibility, and there we are interdependent upon each other to carry it out. The whole body is. Our job as a church is threefold. It's to evangelize the lost, to edify the believer, and exalt the Savior. That's what the book of Ephesians teaches us. Evangelize the lost, edify, which means build up the believer, and exalt the Savior. Now, to accomplish those three things, the members must intelligently work in an involved manner within the framework of the body. It has to happen. You know, you got to have, the members must intelligently work in an involved manner within the framework of the body. You know, we got two adults in every Sunday school class. One is maybe the teacher has the gift of teaching, and the helper doesn't have the gift of teaching, but they have the gift of helping, and they're interdependent upon each other. The helper needs the teacher to teach, and the teacher needs the helper to help. And without that, there's chaos. And it doesn't get done. And that's just one example. That's how the members of the body are interdependent. Now, what happens if you've got a member not exercising their spiritual gift? Well, the body's not going to reach its full potential. I didn't say the body couldn't do anything. The body can't reach its full potential. This is what I'm saying tonight, okay? Now, look at verses 6, 7, and 8, okay? Let's go ahead here a little bit. Then we're going to turn over to this. Now, verse number 6. Having then gifts, let's read verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, everyone members one of another, interdependent upon each other, okay? Verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace. And that's what it is, folks. That's what we have to understand. This matter, look. Grace is more than just for salvation. Grace is for service. Grace is for every area of our Christian life. You know, we don't experience grace one time when we get saved and then leave grace in the rearview mirror and never experience it again. We are gifted by God's grace, the unmerited favor of God. The same unmerited favor of God that put us under conviction and drew us to Christ and saved us when we trusted Him. That unmerited favor also gives, you know, unmerited favor. It designed our physical bodies and it designed the church body. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, okay? And I believe this, if we get this down, and I think I'm probably speaking to the choir in some ways tonight, but maybe this is new to some or just hadn't been touched on for a while. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, because he mentions this over here. Okay, we all have this responsibility to God and to each other to fulfill the purpose of the local New Testament church. And we've all been given at least one gift by the grace of God. Chapter 4, verse number 10, okay? And notice the wording here, very similar to Romans. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Can you sing? Now look, I said last week, the potential to improve as a singer is going to depend on sometimes on people's character and their work ethic and their determination to get better. But the raw material to work with came from the grace of God. And if God didn't grace you with raw material to sing, it's okay. Make a joyful noise. And don't get jealous of those who can sing. Because God's given you a different gift that maybe the person that can sing can't do. All right? The raw material comes from God. The propensity for that gift starts with God. It's up to us sometimes to develop it. Okay? You know, the propensity to play the piano. Okay. You're gifted that way. You can kind of pick up notes and move things, but now work hard and put some determination to it and improve yourself. Okay? That's character. But the raw material came from God. Others don't have that raw material. Look at it again, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And I know I'm slowing down here, but I'm kind of full tonight about this matter. Folks, good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He's not talking about the grace of being a good steward of your salvation. He's talking about being a good steward of whatever gift God has given you. He's talking about serving grace. Serving grace. If God has given you some form of serving grace, watch this, to be used in His body, and you sit on that at church and take that gift outside and make money with it. Hello? You're not a good steward. God gave you the raw material for that gift primarily for the body's benefit, not for your bank account. Now, if somebody serves at church and God blesses them, and then they take that same gift and they go outside the church and they use that to earn a living and maybe even make tremendous money and stack up some money in the bank and support, hey, no problem. But that's the exception. Here's what the rule is in most churches, is you've got people sitting on their spiritual gifts amongst the body and using the raw material to gain financially. Hello? That's not why God gave you the raw material. Are we on the same page? And this is not hard to understand. Verse 10, again, I want to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Okay, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, because God gave you the raw material. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Here's why. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, when you put that verse with Romans chapter 12 and verse number 4, 5, and 6, or 4 and 5 especially, as we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ and every one member is one of them. The primary place for the exercise of that raw material, that gift, is in the body of Christ. And then take it from somewhere else and make a living with it if you want to. But to sit on it at church is not to be a good steward. We all have a responsibility to exercise our gift. Now, and by the way, folks, look, let me tell you about a conversation I had some years ago with a brother that ended up leaving the church. And they were here for some time. He said, I feel of no value. I feel of no value at Faith Baptist Church. I don't have any value there. Well, let me reason with you through something here just a minute, okay? If it is God's will for you to be a member of Faith Baptist Church, and I hope that's why you're here, you feel like it's God's will. This is God's place, okay? This is God's will for me. This isn't just something convenient. This isn't just something that, I enjoy doing. I hope you do enjoy it. But this is God's will. And God has gifted me. All right? God has gifted me to whatever gift it is. Okay? There's a mutual burden between church and Christian to make sure that that gift has a place to be exercised. Does that make sense to you? You know, folks, we not only have a choir because it's enjoyable on Sunday morning, Sunday evening to hear the choir sing. We have a choir because there are people who are gifted with the raw material to sing, and some who have developed that talent to go just above raw material. And when the altos and sopranos and tenors and basses blend their voices together, it brings glory to God. It speaks to our heart. When our choir sings, my goodness, lots of times on the platform I could just shout. Why is there a choir? Just to fill time in the service? No. There's a choir because the church needs to, there's a burden on the local New Testament church to have a place where people can exercise their spiritual gifts. Does that make sense to you? Now, this brother said, I'm of no value. He said, he went on to say, I feel like I have the gift to teach, but I can't teach. You won't let me teach. All right, church. Every church has some level of standards and requirements to be in certain positions. Every church. There is no church that just says, hey, you want to do that? Do it, man. No problem. You got drunk last night? No problem, man. Teach anyway. Well, maybe some do. I don't know. But anyway. Now, a church with 250 and 300 people driving in, okay? 350 driving, whatever it is. So the church has got to try to take its level of requirement and standards to kind of fit each individual person so they can exercise their gift. Does that make sense? If the church has a reasonable, biblical, standard level of requirements that can be supported by biblical principle, and you are here by the will of God, then the burden is on you. To meet the requirement. Are you gifted to teach? And God's will is for you to be here? And this is the level, and I do believe that the level of our requirement for teaching is biblical and reasonable and can be supported by biblical principle, not the whims of somebody's fancy. And so because of that, if you're not willing to come up to the standard, don't blame the church for not being to exercise your spiritual gift. The burden's on you. And I personally, if people have issues with our standards, and here's what happens sometimes. I just don't agree with the standards and the level of requirements for the church. But if you're sitting on a spiritual gift and not using it, that's serious, folks. Because God gave you that gift for the betterment of the body. You're not your own. I'm not my own. It's not all about us. As individuals, it's about a body. We all have a responsibility to exercise our gift. The church needs to work hard to make a place for people to exercise their gift. But the church just can't, throw all of its commitment to truth in the trash can so people can serve. I hope this is making sense. It is. Sometimes it makes sense to you if you're getting it across to others. But anyway, now before I get into the specific gifts listed, what we got? 803. Let me just make some observations. Stop the clock, Jack. Just stop it right there, okay? And I'll, about 10 minutes later, I'll look up. Oh, it's still 803. Good. Okay. All right. Look at number 16. Look at verse number 6. Having then gifts, okay? Having then gifts. The word gifts means power. It means not power in the sense of authority. It means ability. All right? If I pick up this microphone stand, it's because I have the power to do it. I have the ability to do it. Okay? So gifts means power, faculty. I love this definition. Some quality or endowment. Excuse you. Bless you. Who is that? Matt? Frank? Matt? That was about a 9.5 on the scale, man. Yeah, that's Ira degree. That's Ira level, man. Huh? Hey, you got competition, brother. I'm telling you, man. Nope, you got competition. Wow. Amen. That woke up a few sleepers, amen. See, that's a spiritual gift Matt has. Amen. He's exercising it tonight, keeping everybody awake. Have you checked the back of your hair, Kayla? Oh, excuse me. Okay. We'll never get finished now. Okay. All right, so where are we at? 16. The word gifts means power, faculty, some quality or endowment conferred by the author of our nature. Whoa! Power, faculty, ability, faculty, some quality or endowment conferred by the author of our nature. Who is the author of our physical? Who's the author? Who put it all together? God did. And if we're put together with this raw material for this specific gift, this specific ability, folks, we better understand. It started with God. He's the author of it, and God expects us to serve. And by the way, it would be unjust to expect from us more than we could do. I've used the illustration before. Sometimes parents make a mistake of expecting more from their children than the child can give. And expecting a child to fulfill a certain command without the ability to get it done, that's unjust. I've used it before. If I asked Quinn to come up here tonight and carry this piano to the back of the auditorium, that would be unjust. That wouldn't be fair. But if I asked her to come up here and carry this microphone to the back, she's got the ability to do that. God never is going to ask you or me to carry a piano. But He expects us to carry the microphone. Okay? He's not an unjust God. So you say, well, man, I sometimes have these longings to do this or help here or perform this or be involved in this, but I just don't think I have the ability to do it. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because if that's the propensity, if that's the raw material that God has endowed you with, God has given it to you, and He's not going to expect you to do more than you can do, but He does expect you to do what you're supposed to do with what He's given you. Okay? Look at the word differing, and I'll hurry to get done because I want to be done. The word differing, 17, proves that not all of us can do the same thing in the service of God. Having then gifts differing. One is given a certain gift, another is given something else to use, but everybody's given some gift. And a proper understanding of this eliminates any possibility of jealousy and envy. Look, folks, come on. When these guys get up here to sing, Tony and Scott and Mike and the rest of them, when they get up here and sing, and even some of the younger men, I sit there and I marvel because I don't have that gift. I don't have the raw material. I can carry a tune in a bucket. But I've attempted special music with my kids over the years. It's a disaster, really. Hey, y'all are just kind. Amen, But I don't sit in this chair and am steaming with jealousy and envy over the gift that God has given. I enjoy the gift that God has given them. I rejoice in it. I rejoice in it. And that's what it's saying. The word, there's absolutely no need for one member to be jealous of someone else because that person is exercising a spiritual gift, Our bodies are not, members are not jealous of the hand, is not jealous of the stomach, the foot is not jealous of the lung, the kneecap is not jealous of the eye. In fact, if the members of our body could talk, we might be amazed at how appreciative they are of each other's particular functions. Because when the stomach gets hungry, the stomach's probably thankful for the hand that brings the food to the mouth. And when the hand needs to find the food, the hand is probably thankful for the eye that sees the food and allows the hand to find it much easier. You ever see Kurt LeBeau when he used to come? Trying to find the food on his plate? So my stomach is not jealous of my hand. My hand is not jealous of my eye. My eye is thankful for the foot that can carry it closer to the table where the food is placed. And you know what? My whole body rejoices in the nutrition that it gets. There's no jealousy. There's no envy. He just gets to sing. Okay. You don't. You don't need to. Because you've not been gifted, but He has. So He needs to sing. And others need to teach. And others need to do this. And some just need to find their place under the radar where there's no publicity. And that's what we need you to do. And many do that. The stomach, you know, the foot doesn't go to bed tonight saying, that stomach, I don't know who she thinks she is. And the eye doesn't say, man, the hand gets all the credit. I'm just as important as he is. There's no jealousy. Number 18, we're done. The grace given us determines the gift given us. The grace given us determines the gift given us. Some people do not have the grace to get up in front of people. That doesn't mean that they're bad or unwilling. They just don't have that grace. And if somebody has the grace to get up in front of people, it doesn't mean they're proud or presumptuous. It means they were given that grace. I'm okay with it. You know, there are certain fellows that if God prompts me to call on somebody to pray, I know I can call on them to pray because they don't mind praying in public. There are other guys I've gone to and said, hey, if the Lord ever led me to call on you to pray in public, is that something that you, oh boy, I, you know, Pastor, and you know, I'm okay with it, folks. Some people just aren't public. It's all right. There's no black mark on their character, their spiritual group. Come on. The gifts differ according to God's grace. Okay? My burden in this is that every member of Faith Baptist, and it won't happen. There is no church. There is no church anywhere where every member is performing and exercising their gift. Somebody's sitting on it. And that's true about every church. But the fewer of that, the less of that going on, the better off your church is. Amen? And God's church is. All right, let's stand. Thank you for listening. Father in heaven, help us tonight. Thank you for the privilege of having the lesson. God, thank you for the different gifts you give us, for the abilities to serve, the raw material to develop for your name, your cause, your honor, your glory. Help us to do it and do it gladly, happily, and effectively. And Lord, help us not to sit on our gift and waste it, but to be a good steward. And we'll thank you for it. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just a verse of invitation, and we will get on with the end of this. If you want to pray tonight, you go ahead. Just go ahead, ladies.